Welcome to the Mindset Matters podcast, where we dive deep into the world of mindset, entrepreneurship, and real estate. Your host is RJ DeLeon. Whether you're a seasoned business owner, an aspiring entrepreneur, or looking to level up your mindset, this podcast is your go-to resource for inspiration, knowledge, and actionable strategies. Tune in.
Always try your best and have no regrets. Now, I'm going to attribute that quote to our next guest, William Hung. William Hung needs no introduction, but I'm going to give him one. So who is William Hung? William Hung went from being laughed off of American Idol to performing live with Ricky Martin, mustering the courage to try out for a reality TV show, only to bomb the audition in front of millions of viewers. That level of nationwide humiliation would be enough to make even the most confident person admit defeat. But William did not allow his story to end there. He decided not to hide in fear, but to live life with courage. William went on to be a guest on the Ellen DeGeneres Show. On Jay Leno, he starred in TV commercials, movies, signed a record deal, and sold over 200,000 copies. He's even done a TED Talks and is truly inspirational. This story is proof that with the proper mindset, dreams can come true. And that's why I'm so excited to have him on as a guest. Before we get started, you're listening to Mindset Matters with RJ DeLeon. My company is EJC Partners, which is a value-add construction company for real estate investors, and NVR Capital, which is a capital raising syndication company. We sponsor this podcast because we know two things in life, that mistakes and disappointment are inevitable. So it's our mission to share the stories of our guests to help understand the mindsets they've created to become successful. Think of this as an audio mastermind to help you navigate challenges of all kinds. With that being said, William, what's going on? How are you?
I'm doing better. It's been a long journey since 2004 from my original American Idol audition. But I'm living the best life I could live right now. There's been a lot of ups and downs, as you mentioned, the disappointments, the mistakes. It's all part of the journey.
I love that. That's what we always say. It's part of the journey, and it's not what happens when you get knocked on. It's about what you do when you stand back up, which is why I truly felt inspired when I listened to your TED Talks. You could decide to hide in fear or live life with courage. Can you tell the audience a little about what that looked like for you after the American Idol audition?
Well, I got a lot of fans that want to support me, but I also had a lot of critics that don't like what I do. The critics believe that I don't have the natural traditional talent. Yes, I did not go to musical school. To this day, I only got a little bit of training by myself. So I don't have the raw talent, but I feel that my mission is to bring joy to people from what I do, no matter what that looks like. That looks like something different for everyone.
I like that a lot. Especially when you said you don't have the traditional talent, because talent looks different in everybody's eyes, right? So yes. About how long was it? Did you feel lost afterwards? And about how long was it until you started feeling the uprising and the uplifting that, hey, I'm making people happy?
I saw that initially early on, and that's what kept me going because it, like every day I hear like, oh, William, you're so inspiring. Or the, oh, William, this is terrible. You can't sing. Forget it.
Man, how do you deal with that? So I know you have a very strong mindset now, but for all of us, for many of us, we're still struggling with our self-image and our self-confidence. Can you tell the audience about that journey and how you stay motivated? How do you stay so positive?
It's a choice that you make every day you wake up, every day you go through, because I would feel miserable. I wouldn't know where I'm at if I always fill my head with the negative criticism. If it's constructive criticism, then it's good to use it to improve yourself. Otherwise, let it go.
That is so true. And that advice is so great that you have to let things go, right? You just simply can't dwell on the fact of what people are saying or what people are telling you, because your self-image lies within yourself. The one thing I did hear you say that I'd love if you expand on it too, is it's not what people say, it's what you hear.
Yes.
Is that something that you came up with?
It's how I felt in my heart. So yes.
That is amazing. And it's been a journey to get there, right?
Yeah.
So as we know, life goes ups and downs, and your stardom actually lasted a long time. For a lot of people that said it's 15 minutes of fame, that's not true. You went on to do many other things. So tell the audience about some of the biggest accomplishments you've had.
Well, I traveled and performed around the world. I went to Canada, many different states. I went to Iceland, Malta, Malaysia, Singapore to perform. I spoke internationally as well. So that's already, you know, a dream come true. Yes, you know, there's always people better than me, but then that's another one of those mindset traps. Because I realized if I always compare myself to other people above me or below me, I would feel miserable too.
That is such wise words. Don't compare yourself with people above or below you, because that's truly what makes you miserable.
Yeah.
We say that a lot in our podcast, and we say the only person that you should compare yourself with is yourself. But we've never really dove into it, saying that's what's going to mess up your mindset. That's what's going to be crazy.
Yes.
The best part about your story that I love is that you found opportunities and you took them. Maybe it wasn't the path that you originally set down. Is that true?
Yeah, of course.
But you took opportunities and went with them. Can you tell, were you scared when people started requesting you to be motivational speakers? How did that transition happen?
It was scary at first, but the motivational speaking was something that I always wanted to do. Because the reason I was willing to take the risk to put myself out there as a public figure, even though I know that I'm probably seen as a figure of controversy, is because I want people to hear my version of the story. Because what I want to let people know that is that I feel that I just try to have fun. And I believe everyone has a right to try something new without being judged or ridiculed.
That is a terrific message. And it's living your life without the fear so that you could be happy.
Yes.
That is 100%. Like, we always try to convey to the audience in different ways, that we should not be thinking about what other people feel about us, or because that is their own insecurities. What you should really care about is how you feel internally. And I'm so happy that you found your voice and you are motivating thousands and thousands of people. So for us to say that it was a 15 minutes of fame, and today, now in 2022, you are still motivating and lifting people up, I guess we proved them wrong, right?
It's definitely a huge blessing.
Right. So what do you have on the docket next? Is there anything that you're working on, or any speaking engagements?
So my next major project is that I want to launch my own podcast as well in the beginning of 2023.
That's amazing. What's your podcast going to be about?
My podcast will focus on helping people turn negative into positive.
Perfect. That's exactly what we try to do. It's a little bit different because we're thinking about the entrepreneurs, people that aspire to be somebody like the next William Hung. How do we block out the pressures from the outside world? What kind of mindset do we have to create so that we can achieve and be successful? So I'm really looking forward to that, because that's a huge proponent and a huge part of it. We got to be happy. Are there any tips or tricks that you utilize on the day-to-day so that you remain positive?
Well, this could be a two-hour, four-hour workshop.
I know, right? Let's go. Give us something quick.
Yeah, of course. Well, one of the things that helped me, because you mentioned entrepreneurs, is that we always want too much. It's like, how come this couldn't happen fast enough? You know, because in our society, based on what we learn, we see on the social media, YouTube, whatever, we are trained to receive instant gratification. I make this post, I need to make that sale right in the next hour. Unfortunately, that's not how life works. that's one thing that I learned. And then the other thing that tip that I have, maybe just focus on one achievable goal for a day. Like today, when I journaled this morning, as of this recording, I said that I want to just finish my social media marketing calendar for 2023. And I even wrote down first draft because that's more realistic. It's not like I finish planning this out for the next 52 weeks or whatever, I'm done, I never go back to it. That's not how it works either. So it's all about like how you choose your goals and then how you measure your progress.
That is wise words, because oftentimes as entrepreneurs, we get caught up in the perfection of items and not the progress. So for you to say, let's choose a small obtainable goal, something that's realistic, and make sure that gets done, because that way we're moving the needle forward.
Yes.
On top of it, that first concept that we were talking about, that society teaches us for instant gratification, that is the worst mindset for anybody to have, because we see success and we think it's overnight. Oh, this guy, he's so lucky. That could never be me. Why is it not happening fast enough? And that goes into the overall picture of not comparing yourself to other people. So thank you for that. It's a continual theme. But the thing is, we need to hear it multiple times from different people. Your concepts, small obtainable goals, be realistic. First draft. That's the funny part. I almost giggled when you said that. Make sure it's a first draft, because you're not going to make it and never go back to it again, because that's not realistic.
Yeah.
So that's great. So is there a future when you said this could be a 2 to 4 hour mindset session? I'm like, holy crap, it could be. Why don't we create that? Is there something in the future for you for like a mentorship course? Do you feel that passion or drive to work with individuals on a case-by-case basis?
I've done it before, the individual coaching. So it's definitely possible. But I also prefer to do some kind of group session or even an online course, because I want to impact, help more people at the same time.
Right. And in that regard, it's a bit more efficient.
Yeah.
So from what you're saying, instead of helping one individual, you could help a group of individuals.
Yes. And
I think that's super impactful as well, as long as the message doesn't get diluted. I can see it now, a huge William Hung mindset training course. You know, I'd love to be a part of that as well. That's great. So you got the podcast coming up, and are you working on anything else?
Right now, I'm trying to see what opportunities I want to go for the speaking and performing. From my experience, I don't feel that I want to chase the high ticket. So for listeners that might not know, high ticket is like, it's like all those ads that you see is like, oh, let me teach you this course, 6 speakers in 6 months. You know, all you have to do is sell to a few people each month. Yeah. I've tried it before. It didn't work that great for me. It's very sporadic, the results. So, you know, I don't feel that's where I want to go. Everybody's different, you know. If that works for you, great. But for me, and you know, maybe some of you that listened and tried, that's not so easy. It's not as easy as it sounds.
I think I get what you're saying here. And if we boil it down, I think the impact isn't as targeted, because when you get into these large audience and promote these grand ideas, typically it's the 80-20 rule, because a lot of times it's not your fault. It's who you're mentoring as well. You want to have a very specific impact and make sure that you're controlling the outcome a bit more, because that's one of the things too. We can't always control the outcome. I think what you said that got me thinking was, you don't want to chase high ticket items, which made me think, has there been interviews? Has there been commercials? Have there been opportunities that you've actually turned down because of that same integrity that you have?
Yes, absolutely. Like I remember there were opportunities in the past where, you know, I would compromise my values, whether it's speaking against specific religions, politics, use profanity, or just say bad things about other people. So I feel that my brand and my integrity has a lot of value, because you know, as you may have seen on TV, it only takes a short amount of time to destroy your reputation and trust the audience.
Especially in today's culture, with the cancel culture abundant, with woke society, all that stuff going on. It's very important for us to stay true to our values.
Yes.
Now, you sound like a very integrity driven person. Do you mind sharing what values you have and how you've created them?
Well, one of my most important values is to be fully honest with yourself. And this even though I felt like I thought I was being like fully honest, I had struggles because there were times when I lied to myself. Whether it's my past marriages that didn't work out, whether it's my gambling problems that I just finally put a fix to, and I finally stopped gambling. That's it. It's like done. It's simple but not easy.
Yeah. No, I get it. We had talked about the poker habits before we jumped on. And the one thing that I really enjoyed about what you said is I'm willing to talk about that because that's part of who I am and part of my identity.
Yes.
Which tells me that you are being truly 100% honest with yourself.
Yes.
Have those values changed over time? Well, I guess, let me rewind. Because the audience, I feel like a lot of people expect perfection, like we had been talking about before. But you had just alluded to the fact that sometimes you were lying to yourself. So that means your values have changed. So tell us about that path. Is it a continual journey? What does that look like for you?
It was definitely a continuous journey. You mentioned the poker part of my identity. That was a big part of why I did many years. It's when I say goodbye to it, it's like, you know, divorcing someone that I loved for over 17 years. Yeah. That's what it felt like. It still feels this way. But what I learned from that. Is that, you know, when I started in the beginning, it wasn't a problem because I just played on the side for fun. And then for many, many years, it wasn't a problem because I studied, I came up with systems, and at the end of the day, I did take advantage of other bad players or fish, they call it in the poker world. but now the truth is there isn't that many fish to find. So chances are I am the fish. so that's why I need to be honest with myself. I talk to other, you know, really smart friends about this problem. One of them really turned on my thinking hat, because, you know, it's like if you have the talent to do well in poker, Why aren't you applying your talent elsewhere in your life? You know, why take this huge risk for a low paying job?
Right. So it's more about finding your value. So yeah. William Hung as a person with his character has more value than trying to find fish, which, by the way, being a poker player, I'm thinking in my head, I should just invite you to our poker games. We're all fish to you. Like, you know, somebody that plays at that professional level, we're all fish, which I love that part of your story as well, because you didn't go in it haphazard. You actually did your due diligence and you educated yourself. And, you know, so it wasn't, you were mitigating that risk, as we say, for entrepreneurs. So that's great. That's good for you. And I'm very happy that you're being honest with yourself and you've stuck a pin in it, which brings me to a thought and idea that I heard and listened to in a Jay Shetty podcast. And that thought is that sometimes we are unaware that the things that are bad for you are bad because they feel so good. Like, for instance, eating a cheeseburger or eating fries, eating things that are bad for you. You know, it's almost like that is such a rewarding process rather than eating healthy. That feels bad. You don't want to do it. So those are all things that we have to identify and distinguish that you did. William Hung realized that poker is bad for me, even though it was a rewarding process for you. You finally stuck a pin in it because you were able to step outside the box and view it for what it was, detrimental to who your identity is.
Yeah, I totally agree with what you said because it affected my character. Throughout this journey, I attracted people and friends that I'm not proud of. And it's also like it feels like a very lonely journey. I would sit down at the poker table for many, many hours a day. It didn't feel good, you know, because as humans, we're not designed to be isolated. We need to go connect with other people outside. Otherwise, you know, it's also going to negatively affect your mindset.
Right. And that connection piece is so powerful in what you just said, because that connection to other people who you met during poker, these shady characters, they start to take a toll on your own identity because you start to become those people around you. So when the people around you start being the people that you don't want to be, that are negative influences, that have limiting mindsets, it's time to get out. It's time to recognize that and time to make a stand for yourself, which I applaud you for, because that's a very difficult skill set to see, identify, to even know about. So was that a natural thing for you that you started to see that I don't want to hang out with these people? Was it a natural thing for you? Did you take a step back and know that's why you had to get out? Or was it just an inherent feeling?
No, it was not natural. I'll go ahead and give credit to one of my very good friends, Chuck, because he's one of my good friends. I call him up. We catch up. We see how each other's lives, you know, where we're going. And then I told him about how I'm getting help with gambling. And then he said, you know, why not get the help you need, you know, through recovery groups, through, you know, organizations like Gambling Anonymous. So, right. So that's how I got out. And then after that phone call, it still wasn't easy because I had to make a decision like, do I drive to the casino to try to get it back? Or maybe I need to make a change. The reason I decided to make that change was because now I'm at the age of 40. I wasn't 20 years old. If I look at my whole life, my life is still good. I got a roof over my head. I can put food on the table easily. You know, I still have choices in life. You know, I still have a good future. So do I really want to take the risk of going to, you know, zero?
Yeah.
Right. But if for some people, maybe that's okay. You know, if you're younger or whatever, you don't have that much to lose. Maybe that's okay. But I have a lot to lose. I got a good family. I got a good girlfriend. I got a lot to lose. I don't want to do that.
Yeah. I'm going to unpack that for you. But first, I'm going to say, don't age us like that. I was born in 83, too. I know your birthday's in January. Mine's in June. So we're still 39. Don't tell everybody. We're still 39. We're not 40 yet.
Okay.
But big shout out to Chuck. Huge shout out to Chuck. Which brings me to my next point of having a support system. You got to have the right people in place that will support you and tell you what's going on, no matter how difficult that is. And Chuck sounds like he's a huge value add in your life.
Yes.
Not only that, I really like the message that you said, even though we're 40, God, 39, even though we're 39, we still have a lot of life to live. Life's not over, and we could always start over and build up. But now, at this point in life, we're taking calculated risks.
Yes.
You understand you understand that we have our whole lives ahead of us. You're like, I have so much more life to live. I have a beautiful family, etc. But at this age, I want to be more calculated because I have more to lose. But I'm not saying I can't start over again.
Yes.
That's a huge message. Huge, huge, huge message. So let's bring it to that support system aspect. You have a girlfriend, you have Chuck. What was your support system like when you did American Idol? And who was there for you? Did you have to build up from scratch? Did you have a good family? Tell us about that background.
Well, at the beginning, I didn't have that much of a support system. Yes, I have a lot of fans. I had a record company. I had my parents. That's about it. And then, the other parts of my support system, I didn't feel like a support system. Because all they wanted was to maximize profit, you know, use my image, use my products, whatever it may be. I felt like people were just taking advantage of me as much as they could.
Yeah, I feel that. And that's one of the things that you have to understand throughout your journey. It's not going to come easy. And sometimes wolf hiding in sheep's clothing. But the point that we're trying to make here is William started to see that a lot of these influences, a lot of these people in his network, his support system, were being superficial.
Yes.
And so now you have a great support system, which you've had to build. It sounds like Chuck's amazing. You have an amazing girlfriend,
yes,
et cetera. And you've always had a good family.
My parents are always on my side. And then throughout the years, I also found like 10 to 20 friends. I could call up. I hang out regularly. I could share anything with them. So it's not a number. Because I care more about the quality of the relationships rather than the quantity.
Right. Quality over quantity. That's a huge concept to think about. And when we're in high school, we tend to think it's the quantity of people that like me. You want to be the popular guy.
Yes.
But as we grow up, we start to understand it's the quality. And that expands into every aspect of our life, not just our networks, not just our support system, not just our friends. It could even dive into like construction, real estate, the quality of the engagements that you're doing, the quality of the mentorship you're giving, not the quantity, which I'm very happy to hear that it seems like you're very integrity focused and you're not looking for the easy money. You're not trying to do the money grabs. So
I learned my lessons from the past because I think one of the biggest lessons I learned is that whenever you try to look for a quick fix to a complicated problem, whether it's your business, your finance, your health, it's not going to turn out good for you because it's not sustainable. You might get that short-term win, and in your brain, it's like it messes up your brain as well. It's like, oh, look at this! I found this quick solution, you know. And it's not just gambling. Let's say I want to improve my business. Oh, I just hired this expensive coach. He or she must be good because she charges five figures. No. That's not how it works.
That I'm going to quote you for saying that. Whenever you try to find a quick fix for a complicated problem, it's not going to be sustainable. It's probably not going to be good.
Yeah.
And we often talk about the business decision-making diagram, which is time, quality, or cost. And you can only have two. If you want it done fast, and cheap, it's not going to be good. Or if you want quality and cheap, it's going to take a long time. So I live by that decision-making triangle and often have to bring it up. And that's the type of stuff that you're talking about. But that quote right there, I'm going to quote you for that.
Okay, cool.
Anytime you're looking for a quick fix for a complicated problem, it's not going to be sustainable. Boom. William Hunk. Let's put it up. I'm going to monitor. No, I'm just joking. That's terrific. What would you tell the audience if you could tell your younger self something? So it sounds like we're talking about the lessons learned with that last saying, and it's been a culmination of your journey. So if there's one idea, one thought, something that you could tell yourself, younger self, what would you say?
I wish I focused more on what I enjoy doing and not worry about what other people tell me what I should do. Let me unpack that one just a little bit. Right now, I'm still searching for my business direction. At this point in my life, my main concern is not making the most money. Yes, of course, everybody wants to make more money, but I had to balance that with what I actually enjoy. For example, if I enjoy being a foodie, eating out, so let's make that one of my areas to put out content. If I enjoy making short videos, which I do on Instagram. So, okay, well, let's do more of that. And then as I get the feedback from the audience, from my friends, support group, then I can adjust. But I felt that I've been doing it the approach is wrong in the past. Yes, I'm very grateful for all the incredible opportunities. But I feel like I focus too much on William, you should be a comedian. No. I'm not a natural comedian. Sure, yeah. I can make humorous posts. I can make humorous videos. I can sing funny, dance funny. But I don't see myself making that every single day.
Yes, I agree. And to reiterate, focus on what makes you happy.
Yeah.
Don't chase the money,
yeah,
per se, which could have been what you did, what we all have done in our earlier years.
Yes.
What makes you happy? And that's a concept that we all learn as we tend to get older. I feel like that's sort of like a wise, like wisdom type thing that you have to come into sometimes. But that's why we have the podcast, because if you could learn from other people's mistakes, you're going to be way further ahead in life than you ever thought imaginable. So thank you for that message. Focus on what makes you happy. Stop and smell the roses. I always say, don't chase the money. Come on, guys. Like at our age, yeah, a lot of people could say, oh, but you're comfortable. Oh, but you've already been successful. But we're trying to vie for your mental healthiness. Don't go down that path. It's dark and ugly.
Yeah.
So one thing that you were saying earlier about being a lonely path, how do you know when it's time to reach out to a friend? How did you know to reach out to Chuck? And who do you reach out to?
Well, what really happened was after I had one of the biggest losing streaks in my life in poker this year, I also try other forms of gambling, thinking that I'll get it back. So even though I should have known better, I was that desperate, and then as I lost more, I realized that I need help now. Because otherwise I'll destroy everything I have.
That's a terrific message, because it gives off your vulnerability, and how even with the best mindset, sometimes we all fall victim to outside influences. And you said it yourself, going against your best judgment, even though you knew it wasn't right, you still did it.
Yeah.
And these are things that you didn't do due diligence on. And I imagine you were looking for that quick fix to a long-term problem.
Yes.
So thank you for making yourself vulnerable there. And I'm very happy that we're pulling you out of that and you're uplifting yourself, and we look forward to the future for you. So is there anything else that you'd like to say to the audience before we jump into our fun round?
Whatever your goal, your dreams are, take one step at a time each and every day. As I learned from my recovery, from my entire journey, live one day at a time and make the most out of it.
Which also has to do with making small obtainable goals, small obtainable daily goals. Little by little, a little becomes a lot. That is a quote I use all the time. That's from Sean Croxton, who has quote of the day show, is a large mastermind specialist and life coach. And I implore you guys to go listen to his podcast. If you like what we do here, he has podcast Mindset Coach. And this isn't sponsored, by the way, but I know I'm doing it. I really love the message that he portrays, and I'm trying to project that same image. So thank you for that, William. Thank you very, very much. So we're in our fun round. This is where I ask you a series of fun questions just so the audience gets to know you a little bit better. Are you ready?
Yes.
Awesome. The first question I always start with is, what's the weirdest food that you loved as a child, and do you still eat it today?
Durian. So it's like a fruit with a very, smelly very fruit. Weird smell. Yeah, it smells kind of bad, but it tastes amazing inside, and I still have it today.
Okay. Durian fruit, guys. If you don't know what it is, it's supposed to smell like rotting meat.
Yeah.
Supposedly it's an amazing fruit. I still don't know if I've ever had it. I always confuse durian with jackfruit because I feel like they look the same. All right. Durian. So how would your best friend describe you as a teenager? If nobody was around, nobody was looking, and he wanted to give you unabashed, like, advice, not advice, or, describe you, what would that look like?
They have a term called workaholic for work. So they would probably say studyholic. Because I didn't make that many friends in the high school or middle school. I was too focused on getting straight A's.
Oh man, sounds like the stereotypical Asian. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Cool. Well, it's obviously paid off. Whether or not you thought your life was going to go the way it went, it paid off. So
yeah,
very happy to have you here. If you were stranded on a deserted island, zero human contact, you cannot watch YouTube videos of other people or anything, what would you find yourself doing? You could have access to anything, nuclear reactors, cars, tools, just no human contact. What would you do?
I would learn how to cook more.
Nice. That's exactly the answer I'm looking for. A lot of people are always like, I don't know, what would I do? But that right there shows that you have a passion for cooking. That's awesome.
I'm actually very bad at it. I'm just a beginner, but now I realize that I have more choice on what I eat by learning it. I don't have to be great at it. I just need to make some simple meals that I can enjoy.
You have to start somewhere.
Yeah.
I mean, there's lessons everywhere, guys. Yeah. He doesn't have to be great at it. He has to just start somewhere. And then who knows? Maybe you'll have a cooking show because you become an expert.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe William will become an expert, which is amazing. Where's the most beautiful place you've ever visited?
Malta in Europe, right outside of Greece.
Okay. Malta.
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting that, knowing that you've been to Iceland and everywhere. Malta. Yeah. Malta outside of Germany. Where?
Greece.
Of where? Outside Greece. Of Greece. Okay. Perfect. What is the most impactful book you've read and would recommend to our audience?
I like Stories That Stick by Kendra Hall, because it's about the storytelling and the stories you need in order to be successful in your business and in life.
Nice. Stories That Stick.
Stories That Stick, yes.
Okay, perfect. By Kendra Hall. Yeah. Thank you for that suggestion. And last question here. Actually, I have two last questions because I have a surprise. Let's see. But what does the future look like for you?
My future, I would like to see myself having a living a more balanced life. Not just the work, but the spiritual, the physical, as well as the relationships. All four areas of my life, it's not a number, but it's more like I feel like I'm giving my best to all four areas.
Yes. Mind, body, and spirit is what I say. What four areas are they for you?
I remember it's the physical, the spiritual, and then you have the mental or emotional.
Right.
And then, of course, you have the work side, the business side.
Okay, perfect. Because I say mind, body, spirit, and I just want clarification on what the fourth was. Because, of course, work is always going to be an aspect of our lives.
Yeah.
So, last question I have here. This one's going to catch you off guard. And you don't have to do it if you don't want. But in your TED Talks, you said that you created a math song for your students. Do you remember that?
Yeah, of course.
Can you sing it for us?
Sure. Positive times a positive equals a positive. Positive times a negative equals a negative.
Yes. I saw that and I was like, God, that's so perfect. I wish I would have had something like that when I was in college, because that's how people learn. That's how people remember things, acronyms, stories, music. It's about how people make you feel.
Yeah. And
I really appreciate that. That was a really good feel-good moment for me. So... thanks. So now we're just going to say bye to the audience. Before we go, I just want to let everybody know this podcast is not monetized. I said at the beginning of the podcast that my company sponsor this, and that's true. I help pay to put this on every week for the auditing, editing, to put it on all the different platforms. So if you guys like what you heard, the best thing that you could do for us is like it, write a review, share it. Actually, I think the most powerful thing is to share it. So like, share, subscribe, follow, leave me a message, leave William a message. Let us know, are we doing good? Are we doing bad? We want to hear the constructive criticism from you all. And with that being said, thanks, William. We'll see everybody next week.
Bye.
And that's a wrap. Thanks for joining us on another episode of Mindset Matters. If you enjoyed today's episode, be sure to hit that subscribe button to stay updated. We'd also appreciate it if you'd leave us a review. Your feedback helps us improve the show. Thank you for being a part of the community, and remember to keep that positive mindset. Until next time.